You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerd Bliss is intended for a mature audience.
Mikey Mason spent more than a decade as a full-time stand-up comedian. He's headlined on all four coasts. He's performed multiple times on NBC, the Hard Rock Casino, and the legendary House of Blues. In 2011, he released the geek rock hit She Don't Like Firefly, which went viral on YouTube and was featured on Nerdist, Sci-Fi, MTV Geek News, Dr. Demento, and even Time Magazine. Many albums and EPs later, his lifelong love for fantasy, science fiction, cats, video, and role-playing games continues to inspire his music. Today, his profession is creating art and music with geeky themes. He's performed at theaters, bars, comedy clubs, casinos, colleges, festivals, and conventions across the U.S. He's hosted podcasts, exhibited at art shows, he's created a coloring book, and continues to expand his horizons today. Comedy rock geek Mikey Mason on today's episode of Nerd Bliss.
Strike wing, standing by the launch.
Connect into launch. Dials are connected.
Fight the power! Reactor attacked in unpowered.
All stations.
Ready.
Nerd Bliss.
It's now online.
I'm trying to kill him right there.
This is the way.
Hello and welcome, my nerd blisters. I know exactly what you're here for, and I am not going to keep you from him for very long, I promise. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you something very important about this episode. I want you to listen all the way to the end because we are going to do a drawing-style giveaway of one of the Mikey Collection flash drives. This is an $80 value. It includes 10 full albums, 5 EPs, more than 200 bonus tracks. It is the quintessential piece in your Mikey Mason collection. Just, again, listen to the end. We're going to tell you how you can win that flash drive. We're going to do an additional prize as well. So we're going to do 2 drawings, and we'll give you details on that at the end of the show.
Force navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Well, my friends, we have here on Nerd Bliss someone I've been trying to get on the show for quite a while. You've heard his music before on the show, and you've certainly heard his name many, many, many times. So I'm glad to finally welcome comedy rock geek Mikey Mason here on Nerd Bliss.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on, Mikey. Live from Muncie, Indiana.
Beautiful downtown. Well, I'm not downtown. Beautiful suburbs just off Ball State campus, Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah, site of previous and future beer-powered time machine fests.
Potentially the last beer-powered time machine fest. Of course, I say that every time because I make no guarantees. It is a creature of whimsy and whim. And when I decide, oh, sure, let's see if anybody's interested, and then people are like, yeah, we want to do it again, then we'll do it again. But if I never do, then I guess we won't.
We may have to do like maybe number 4 would need to be like a flash mob beer power time machine fest.
We're not telling Mikey. We're just showing up on a week that he's not listed anywhere on his schedule and hoping he's not on vacation.
Yes, I will make this happen.
There are worse surprises.
All right. Well, I had you were at Con Carolinas. That was your first concert back. From the dark times, from the lockdown, from the
yeah,
And
yeah,
I was listening to your podcast, Mikey Talks, on your Patreon, and we'll cover all your Patreon stuff here before we
go. Patreon.com/Mikey Mason.
Yep, that's the one.
All right.
And I listened to the episode where you were leading up to the show. And yeah. I was hoping to get you on our Con Carolinas episode to get your thoughts after, you know.
Oh, okay.
And I was there at that first concert back, and I just wanted to, like, what was in your mind? What were you feeling at that moment?
I was so impatient and so ready. And it was weird because, I mean, nobody wants anybody else to get hurt. Nobody wants anybody else to get sick. We all want it to be done. I know that the Delta variant is becoming a big deal, and that they're worried that another huge hospital wave is going to happen this fall because of the Delta variant, because people aren't getting vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. My whole family's fully vaccinated. That doesn't stop me from being wary or feeling weird, but I also still have bills to pay and mouths to feed and an addiction to feed, which is performing in front of people. So, it was just beautiful. It was amazing. It was restorative. It was... there was just a connection with a group of people in a room who wanted so badly to see. Maybe it said they wanted to see anyone live. I don't know. Maybe they would have been happy with any live performer at all, and it happened to be me, and I needed an audience, and it happened to be them. And it was just, it was so, so perfect and good and wonderful. And I was so rusty. I really was. I mean, it should have been obvious how unprepared I was, despite the fact that I tried to be very prepared. But I'm just surprised I didn't openly bawl. That's the big surprise for me, is that I didn't openly bawl in front of everybody. I felt like it at a couple of points, but I held myself in check. And man, it was so fantastic.
It said the real miracle of Jesus was having 12 close friends in his 30s. All my friendships now were just figuring out whose turn it is to cancel plans. And I'm so tired all the time, and my back hurts all the time. And I just cleaned my whole house, and now it all needs cleaned again. And I finally understand what my mom was so upset about. I've got a laundry pile and this real nice box I can't throw out. And I'm an adult now, so nobody can tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do. Rushing to get somewhere I don't want to go in the first place. I used to sneak out to go party. I sneak out of parties now to go home. And I swear I haven't changed, but now everything is strange. And the front one on the right's my favorite burner on the stove. And I finally understand what my mom was so upset about. I've got a bag of plastic bags and boxes that I can't throw out. And I'm an adult now, so nobody can tell me what to do. Please tell me what to do.
You have been busy. Like Retrosonce is your latest one, your latest project. Yeah. And In Shadow is the EP, right?
Yep, In Shadow with Valentine Wolf.
And then you had the one with Mark Gunn that you worked on.
We did the In the Verse podcast, and from that I ended up with 15 songs and made the Shades of Grey album. Mark and I, by the way, we haven't talked about this much, but we're in talks to continue the In the Verse podcast with other media other than Firefly. So
okay,
we're at the point of asking for recommendations, and not like entire series, but you know, because if you say do In the Verse for Doctor Who, no.
Yeah.
We're not watching every extant episode and writing, but, you know, maybe an in the verse for the Doctor Who episode Blink. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, if somebody wanted us to watch, we're not watching all of Dragon Ball Z. But maybe if there was a Dragon Ball Z episode, or maybe, you know, a specific episode of a specific show, or a specific movie, or a specific, maybe a two episode story arc in a show, you know, somebody said Supernatural, do Supernatural. It's like 17 seasons and well, or 19,000 seasons. And we're going to end up with a show called, or a song called I Like Pie out of 19 seasons.
Well, I'm just going to mention for no particular reason, Star Trek The Next Generation, Best of Both Worlds, and Inner Light.
Ah, okay.
Just for no reason. I'm just going to put that down there.
I will be, he's already posted on his fan page asking for recommendations. I'll be posting on mine and in Best of Both Worlds and Inner Light. Okay.
You have a way of capturing your audiences. And it's not just that they're funny or that they're poignant. It's you reach people where they are. And then you get to tell us the story behind these, and it's extra meaningful. And
yeah, the truth is that I write songs for me anymore. Mm-hmm. I started writing the geek stuff trying to capture a geek audience. Mm-hmm. And I realized that the songs that really connected, the ones that I liked the best and the ones that really translated the best, were just the ones about the things that I was passionate about the things that I liked, about what I was interested in, the ones that really reflected me as a person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. Luckily, I change as a person, as any decent, hopefully, person should. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be better every day and every year. But the songs that really seem to connect with other people are the songs, and especially lately, the ones that are just me being me. Whether it was She Don't Like Firefly, which was, you know, the joke, a horrible jokey song, or Best Game Ever, people loved that, or Scooby-Thulu, which is, you know, about playing a role-playing game. Where you're Scooby fighting the Scooby gang fighting Cthulhu, or whether it's, you know, Han Solo cool or mad when I'm just playing with vocabulary and the concept of a mad scientist or the button or whatever it is, up to opposite of cool. And most recently, Sorry Mom, which was written one week too late to be on RetroSance. Mm-hmm. It was written while RetroSance was being mastered. It was written the day after RetroSance was submitted. Mm-hmm. So it was, there was no way to include it because it would have been perfect on the album. But so that's a song that I love, and it's connecting with audiences. So,
yeah.
But so far, only people who've seen me live or who are on my Patreon have got to hear it.
Yeah. And, when I say that you have a way to, of reaching audiences, like when you came out with Legends, and of course you tell the story of that song pretty much every time you perform it. But that just, it hits on such a real level, you know, for those of us who are, you know, maybe even late in life still trying to find where we're going. And it just really hits home. I mean, for me, back in 2018, you released the song Celebrate, and that song came out either, I can't remember if it was a week before or a week after my dad passed.
Oh.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You really helped me, man. You weren't intending to, but you did. And I'm just as thankful. So.
Well, thank you. It means a lot to hear that. And, you know, of course, I'm sorry that your father passed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty obvious when you hear the song that I'm thinking about the friends and family and my mom who aren't around anymore. And I, you know, you don't get a chance. You'll never get that next chance to talk to them or whatever.
Right.
And, or the feeling I get when I drive my kids around the old neighborhood, you know, and I'm like, you know, I used to live there, and they're like, well, that's a bank or whatever. It's like, well, it wasn't at the time, you know.
Someone, and now I'll never see them again. So celebrate the things you love before they all go away. Celebrate the moments of this life before they fade. 'Cause someday we will all move on, and someday this will all be gone, but that is not today.
I remember visiting the housing that we used to live in. My dad was stationed in Warner Robins, Georgia. He was an Air Force man. And yeah. I visited the housing that we lived in there at Warner Robins. And those houses are gone. Like it's an empty field now. But we had this great big oak tree in the corner of our lot, and it was still standing there. And just to see that oak tree again, and even just the surrounding buildings I'm super, super nostalgic. So yeah, I'm well suited to your music.
Well, and there's something there. There's something about standing on the sidewalk that you stood on, not mm-hmm. a sidewalk that's been replaced, but the sidewalk. There's something about touching a tree that you climbed as a kid. Mm-hmm. There is something about even the fire hydrant that was in front of the trailer home where I lived at Pennington's Trailer Park, seeing that fire hydrant was still there and knowing it was the same one, because you can tell it's that old and decrepit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the porch that I rolled my first character on in Greenwood, Indiana, the slab porch that's all broken up, and or, you know, the trailer home that we played our first game of Dungeons and Dragons in, that the last time I was there, it was still there 20, 30 some odd years later, still there, not in great shape, but it was there. And there's something about having that physical connection that means something to us. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we're creatures of nostalgia. We shouldn't get too distracted by it, but we shouldn't ignore it either. We should let things mean things to us.
Absolutely. We need the touchstones. Now, I have a lot of, let me put it this way. Many of our listeners are already Mikey Mason fans.
Thank you. I love you all. You have immaculate taste. Sorry.
For the handful that may not have heard your music, which I don't know how they haven't listening to this show.
They have even better taste than the other listeners. I'm saying maybe better luck. I don't know.
Now. What I would call the elevator pitch for Mikey Mason.
I have tried to boil it down into saying that I make music that makes geeks happy. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's just the thing. My elevator pitches tend to be very long. I'm a ball of contagious enthusiasm. Me on stage versus me on an album, they're different beasts. They're in the same family, but they're different creatures. Mm-hmm. Now on an album, you're going to get a more polished and manicured act. On stage, you're going to get me and a guitar and a lot of energy and a lot of raw emotion. And you'll get the same songs done differently because it's just me and a guitar and not a band. But I just make songs about things that move me, from role-playing games to video games, television shows, science fiction, fantasy, cats, cartoons, the things that I like and the things that I love, the general life experience of being a geek. I make songs that make geeks happy, even if they're songs that make geeks cry. So there's my elevator pitch.
And you are, I do liken you to an 80s sitcom because you're hilarious. So, but you're so hilarious that when you take that turn to poignancy,
it becomes a very special episode. Yeah. It is a very special episode.
Just like Mikey. Ending the episode with no applause. It's just instant. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. 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 Super instant gravitas. That's what it is. Okay. Yeah. No, that's, and thank you. I appreciate it. I like to be funny. I love to be funny. I've recently taken to writing more serious songs. Because I realized that my listeners don't necessarily care if I'm funny as long as it's good. That's what they want. They want it to be good. And they love that it connects about things that they feel and they care about it as well. So, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to be funny. I put out a song a week, but you know this. I put a song a week on my Patreon. Mm-hmm. Last year, on my Patreon, I put out 60 some odd songs. That's more than one a week for those of you keeping score. I am bad at math, just not that bad.
You feel it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And this year I'm on pace to do well more than 52 songs as well. And I just, and the songs can be about anything. This week's song, Monday's song, was an impromptu tribute to a friend I had in high school that I haven't really talked with since high school.
Yes.
And she passed away suddenly. And we weren't super close in high school. We had some things that that connected us as people. Mm-hmm. Our desires to perform, our desires for stardom, etc. We were both theater kids, both in show choir. But we sang some, I have some recordings of us singing together. Actually, I have at least one recording of us singing together that no one ever gets to hear. We were doing Opposites Attract by Paula Abdul, and I was the part of MC Scat Cat. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that one doesn't get out. But then I also do songs like Licking Henry Cavill, which is just called Henry Cavill, but it's about licking Henry Cavill.
Oh, yes. and I got to experience that for the first time at Con Carolinas.
and everything in between. I've written a song about a video game. There's a game called No Man's Sky. And when I play video games, I tend to get super immersed in the video game and let it take over my life, and I become less productive, and I'm less of a good partner and less of a good father. Yeah. Much less of a good worker. And but there was a storyline in No Man's Sky that I absolutely loved, and I wrote a song about it because it just hit me, and I love the song, and I just don't know. You know, that's what Patreon is. The Patreon account is great for. There are songs that I can write that nobody's going to get. That's never going to end up in an album. It won't end up on an album. It's just not. And I know that. And that's kind of sad, but I still, you know, it doesn't mean I don't love the song, or maybe it will. Maybe it'll end up on a Bits and Pieces compilation somewhere. Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, currently I have about 100 songs from the Patreon that aren't on an album that haven't been released. And of course, that number grows every week. And I can't just throw an album out and then just, you know, push another album out my art sphincter and another one and another one and another one. And I mean, I could, but maybe I should. I don't know. But I have an album of funny songs and an album of serious songs in one direction and an album of serious songs in another direction. And I, you know, for a while I was just breaking up into different segments. And now I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm going to just start putting out singles.
There you go. Yeah. Get them 99 cent drops. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I've been saying that for years and I haven't done it. Maybe it's time that I actually do it.
Hello everyone, Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this! For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Listening to some of your podcasts, you tell stories of your songs on your Patreon. Yes, as well. Where you give kind of backstories, and that's going to tie into something else, which I'm certain we're going to mention.
Sure.
Why don't we go ahead and tie those together? So,
all right. So, we'll start with the podcast, which is Mikey Talks. And if you back at a certain level, I believe it's $5 a month, you get all the episodes of Mikey Talks. The basic level of my Patreon, I hate for this to be a sales pitch, but I want to explain where everything came from.
Sure.
So the basic level of my Patreon, which is $1 a month, for $1 a month, you get a song a week. I mean, that's it. That's 25 cents a song. That's 52 songs a year. That's $12 a year for 52 songs. And of course, I put out more. But every time I put on a song on Patreon, you get a copy of it. If you pay a year in advance, it's 15% off. So it's $10.80 or whatever instead of $12. But that's the basic level, and that is the most value you're ever going to get for a dollar a month, I think, probably. Mm-hmm. Four singles-ish. Some of them are demos, whatever. Mm-hmm. At the $5 level, I do a podcast, 3 episodes a week. One episode is completely free. It's on Patreon and SoundCloud. Every Friday, Mikey Talks. And it's whatever, that one's whatever I want to talk about. But on Wednesdays, I do song focuses. And on Thursdays, I do Tales from the Road. So on Wednesdays, I talk about the stories behind songs. And on Thursdays, I talk about Tales from the Road from when I was a stand-up comic or stories from conventions. And when I was at Con Carolinas, I was introducing my wife, Jody, to John Hartness of Falstaff Books. Mm-hmm. And I made the lame joke that I always make when I'm around somebody who makes a living with their words. And because John's the publisher of Falstaff and also an author, mm-hmm. and a fantastic poet as well. Mm-hmm. And I made the joke, you know, one of these years, John, I'm going to do something with my creative writing degree other than writing songs. Ha, 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 ha. You know, lame joke, whatever. Yeah. And his response was, I'll give you a book contract this weekend. And I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know how seriously to take him. And he said, I want you to write a book that is song lyrics from your songs and stories about your songs and from conventions. And I said, oh, okay. Are you serious? He goes, yeah, I'm serious. So I went home after the convention and I put together a quick writing sample, a sample chapter-ish, not quite a chapter, and sent it to him and said, here's the kind of thing I'm thinking. What do you think? And he responded, here's what I think. And there was a contract attached.
That sounds like him. That sounds yeah. like him.
And it turns out that there are, you know, there may be people out there who say things like, you know, if you eat that wax piece of fruit, I'll give you $20. And they're joking. They won't actually give you $20 if you eat that piece of wax fruit. But if John Hartness says he'll give you $20 to eat the wax piece of fruit, I believe he will do it. Because now I have a book deal. I've June of 2022, I owe 60 to 75,000 words to Falstaff Books. From song lyrics and stories behind the songs and convention stories. And a lot of those stories are getting, I'm going back and listening to the old episodes because I have, some of them have really good outlines. Some just have some scrawled notes, but I'm going back and listening to the episodes and using that as a starting point for some of the songs that I'm doing. I believe we're aiming for about 20 songs and stories behind those songs. But there may be more, there may be less. I don't know. We'll see how quickly I fill up 60 to 75,000 words. You know, if I'm talking on a podcast, obviously that's not that long. I'll hit that before right. the next minute mark. But
right. Well, you're already working on your audiobook, right? There you go.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we haven't even discussed that. But but yeah, that's, I mean, so it's absolutely fantastic. And some people, I know that what I walked into was a dream deal because authors pitch books that don't get bought all the time. And I had a publisher ask me to write a book. And right. how often does that happen? And right. send me a good contract where a good and absolutely fair. And I did my due diligence checking out the contract before I signed it and returned it. Mm. And the terms for as far as I can tell are as fair and fantastic as any first time offer or any first time author is ever going to get. There wasn't an advance, but I mean, it's not a vanity press. They want my words. They'll work with me with an editor to further the drafts. They will pay for they're paying for the design, the layout, the printing, the publishing of the book. And then I get paid royalties. I don't pay anything. It's not that kind of deal. They're publishers. It's a publishing company, Falstaff Books. And they're like, and John has frequently said, if they're asking you for money, what you're dealing with isn't a publisher. Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. So I'm over the moon about it. And it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work to shape your memories because, you know, who cares about me or what I have to, that's, you know, I live with me. I want to brag. I've slept with me, Chris, and I don't advise it. Look, it's, but I've had some good times at conventions and I have some cool stories and maybe people are interested, maybe not, but we'll find out. And maybe it'll ruin my career, potential career as an author, or maybe not. We'll find out.
See you plucking the guitar the other day. How are you now? Good and you? Not so bad now that that's through. Pitter patter, let's get at her. We can start to sing this song. Have you heard? Can confirm. Each line's a new ear fucking worm. Pert near there, let's get this rig rolling on. All the time I'm quoting lines from Letterkenny. Wishing I could have a Puppers or some good old Gus and Brew. While in traffic or at work or stuck in line behind some jerk. Oh, Letterkenny, it's what I appreciate about you. To be fair, don't get the scoots, just pump the brakes, they're big shoots. Ain't no reason to get excited, just give your balls a tug. That's a Texas size 10-4, figure it out, and then what's more, I just wish you weren't so fucking awkward, bud. All the time I'm quoting lines from Letterkenny. Wishing I could have a Puppers or some good old Gus and Brew. While in traffic or at work or in line behind some jerk. Letterkenny, that's what I appreciate about you. Let's take about 5 to 10% off over there. Have a Donnybrook with upcountry D-Gens. Have a Dart, Hoover, Schneef, make sure to add allegedly. Bag some snipes and get some toe curling and murder. All the time I'm quoting lines from Letterkenny. Wishing I could have a Puppers or some good old Gus and Brew. While in traffic or at work or stuck in line behind some jerk. Letterkenny, it's what I appreciate about you. In my mind I'm spending time in Letterkenny. Sipping Puppers, slamming good old Gus and Brew. Not in traffic, not at work, not stuck in line behind some jerk. Oh, Letterkenny, it's what I appreciate about you. Oh, is that what you appreciate about me?
If I remember correctly, you had a song on Dr. Demento. Is that right? Is there a story behind that?
I've had several songs on Dr. Demento.
Okay. Well, tell us. Tell us about Dr. Demento, Mikey Mason.
So, yeah, and all of a sudden I forget how to talk. Dr. Demento, I got on Dr. Demento because I was on thefump.com, the Funny Music Project. Mm-hmm. They asked if I wanted to submit stuff. I submitted stuff and it worked out. So, basically what happened was when they started publishing, you know, when I became a member of the FUMP and they started doing my music on Dr. Demento, when they started playing my music on the FUMP, then it started going to Dr. Demento. The first song I had on Dr. Demento was the first song I released on the FUMP from Dangerous Gifts. And that song is called Mama's Goin' Dancin'. And that was on August 10th of 2013. And but since then, I've had several songs. I've been on Dr. Demento 36 times since then. My most commonly played song on Dr. Demento is Last Day at Work. The second most commonly played song on Dr. Demento is Letterkenny. And beyond that, and Secret Origins, The Robot Holidays, they're tied. But yeah, I've been on Dr. Demento a lot. I got friends of mine on Dr. Demento. When I did When I did, trying to think of the name of the song, Secret Origins of the Robot Holidays, my son Jack at 10 years old got his first Dr. Demento credit. Not that he cared, not that his friends cared. They barely know who Dr. Demento is, but
right.
They love, you know, he got his credit. Yeah. I've done songs.
Us Gen Xers that, know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've heard of Weird Al? Dr. Demento is why he has a career.
Yeah.
a few of my songs featuring Sean Faust have been on keyboard, have been played on Dr. Demento. And one that featured a comedian that I knew called Michael. His name is Michael Brown. He did the voice of the brain on the version of Take Over the World from the album M that featured the version that had the Pinky and the Brain impressions on it.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's really cool. And my friend Sean Smith, he's been on some of the songs that have been on there. He's got one from the Unicorn, Varlet Style Unicorn, the Unicorn song. So it's amazing to be able to provide that. To friends and my son Jack, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that a lot of people necessarily care. Some of them think it's kind of neat, but those of us who really loved Dr. Demento growing up, when I say, "Look, you just got a credit on Dr. Demento," they're like, "And yep. It means something."
The ones that know, so, know. Yep.
And it means something, you know. Like when I tell you that I've, you know, had 36 appearances on Dr. Demento, and the first one was on August 10th of 2013. It's because it means something to me. That's all. Barrett Hansen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, Barrett Hansen, Dr. Demento, is the reason comedy music or demented music, dementia music, whatever you want to call it, is as widely as accepted as it is. Period. He gave what a lot of people would call novelty songs a longevity that they wouldn't have otherwise. And I don't tend to think of my music as novelty music, but I guess in many ways it can absolutely be interpreted that way. And I don't care what you call it, as long as you enjoy it. Dr. Demento still puts out weekly shows. They are not on terrestrial radio, but they are online. And if you want to go to drdemento.com, they're relatively inexpensive, but that's how he makes his living now. So you can either buy a subscription or buy shows individually. But if you didn't know and care and want to listen to Dr. Demento, you still can. It's just not over your radio waves.
We haven't actually done these in a while. We have our quick rapid fire questions. If you don't mind going through those,
sure. Let's get me in trouble.
It won't be that bad. Now, there are no wrong answers. There are some questions have correct answers, but there are no wrong answers. in...
Tell that to my ex-wife, Chris. Anyway, no, go ahead.
And just whatever the question means to you. All right. Question one, if you owned a billboard, what would you put on it?
If I owned a billboard, what would I put on it? I would, it's what I close every one of my podcast episodes. Be good to each other and be good to yourselves.
All right.
That's what I would put on a billboard. Also, I would probably put Mikey Mason, patreon.com/Mikey Mason.
Yeah. question number two, who inspires you? Top of the head.
Man, lots of people inspire me. Growing up, when I was asked who I wanted to be by my fourth grade teacher, I said Paul Stanley, and my teacher looked at me and said, I think that job's taken. But people inspire me all the time. Every time I look at somebody who's moving, you know, my cat, my little cat, we just got a cat. Her name is Waltz. She inspires me. She was born with three full legs and then one leg that was it wasn't completely formed. And so she has three paws and one nubbin, and it doesn't go all the way. And it doesn't stop her one bit. It doesn't slow her down. She's just absolutely fantastic and energetic. And she inspires me. I have several male friends who make it a point to tell their male friends that they love them because they want that to be a human thing and not a masculine or feminine trait. They think that human beings should express their genuine affection for each other and not be shamed for it or ostracized for it or looked at funny for it. And they inspire me. I have friends who call me on my BS and put me in check when I'm out of line, and they inspire me to be better. My wife Jody has long inspired me to be a better person, better than I was. Everybody who's fighting to make the world a better place without diminishing anyone else while they do it, those are the people who inspire me.
All right. Good answer.
That wasn't a quick answer.
Oh, it's fine. We like wherever it goes. You're to give a book as a gift. What book is it?
Neil Gaiman's American Gods or Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman's Good Omens.
Good Omens was my guess. But yeah, American Gods, I can also see why that one is up there. All right.
Yeah.
Question number four.
Or the Fantasy Worlds of Peter Beagle.
Yeah. Okay. Last Unicorn.
Fantasy such. Worlds of Peter Beagle has the short story Lila the Werewolf, and then the novel The Last Unicorn, and then what ranks among one of my favorite books of all time, A Fine and Private Place, is a novella that's at the end. So that's another good one. I don't think you can go wrong with books as a gift. They're a great gift. You should give more books, especially probably sometime in 2022. There'll be a book by a guy named Mikey Mason.
Great gift. Yeah. Okay, what are we on? Question number four. Did you try turning it off and back on again?
This time, no. That's why my camera's not working. But almost always, that's the first thing I do when troubleshooting.
All right. Question number five. Donut, muffin, or bagel? Think very carefully about this answer.
Oh, I don't have to think about this. You just ranked them for me. Donut, muffin, bagel. The answer is all three, but in the order I just gave you.
Well, I'll give you the correct answer on that one. The correct answer is donut. And that's what we all folks anyway.
Donut, muffin, bagel.
Yes, I am hashtag team donut, always have been. It made me the man I am today. All right. Next question. What does God need with a starship?
What did God need with a starship?
What does God need with a starship?
But Q doesn't use a starship. I don't understand the question.
That'll work. That'll work.
Apparently, entertainment. The answer to your question is there are four lights, and
that'll work.
That's a different Star Trek homage. Sorry.
No, that'll work. I mean, yeah.
Four lights.
Okay.
Let's see. Is there any way we can repel firepower of that magnitude?
No, not at this point. No, the best we can hope is to duck and cover, run away, come back and hit it from another direction.
All right. Final question. What was the first movie you saw in the theater?
Star Wars, 1977. I was a wee little nard, but yes. Shortly after that, and that was also the first time I was allowed to go to the bathroom by myself in a movie theater. I walked into the wrong theater and saw King Kong, the one with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the remake, the 76, 77, whichever remake of King Kong. And I, because Star Wars was in the theater for a long time.
Yeah.
But I went back into the correct theater. And then after that, the very next movie I saw in the theater was a matinee of The Jungle Book with my sister. She took my brother and I to see The Jungle Book. And the only seats that were left were in the very front row. And to this day, I refuse to sit in the front row to watch a movie because it hurts your neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Well, you have survived. You have survived the nerdless questions.
I golf clapped. Okay.
All right. So, gosh, thank you so much for taking time for us. We want to wrap up here. What do you want to tell folks? Where can they find the stuff? One more time.
You can find my stuff. Yeah. MikeyMason.com, Patreon.com/MikeyMason. Find me somewhere and hopefully you'll like what you see. And if you don't, that's okay. But you don't have to be mean about it. If you get the chance to, if you can be anything in the world, be kind, at least, at the very least, be kind. You don't have to like everything, but you don't have to put it down if you don't like it.
All right, Mikey Mason, I hope we'll be seeing more of you in the conventions to come, hopefully at Dragon
Con.
Yes,
I have already accepted Dragon Conning.
All right, so we will see you at Dragon Con and hopefully BBTM Fest 3 if my employer gives me the weekend after Dragon Con off.
But oops.
It's cool. We'll make it happen. All right, man. Thanks.
Sweet.
Have a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate it, brother.
It was the best game ever. The traps and riddles were so clever. And hardly any of our party even died. Except for George, but he deserved it. Split his magic items up. I swear to God, he almost cried. And when he came back in the game with his new gnome thief mage assassin, we took all his gear again and sold him as a slave. Best game ever. Was the best game ever. I took his saddle plus four leather. Then we hopped on board the flop train, let it take us for a ride. But then George came back, and this time he was a druid who refused to leave the forest but always tried to start a fight. And that's exactly what he did with this poor farmer on the outskirts of the town who turned out to be a god in disguise. Best game ever. Cause George's druid's head got severed. Then he came back in the game while we were going through this cave to slay a dragon. This time he played a barbarian who hated both users, but carried a sword of magic flame. And when we'd reached the dragon's lair, he argued tactics for an hour till we fed him to the dragon. Then we killed it in 3 rounds. Best game ever. Best
half-elf, half-orcish monk illusionist. And as we counted out our treasure, he insisted on attempting to seduce the barmaid, laughing as she cried and raised her fists. Then we all picked up our weapons, and as he died, he swore he would never game with us again as long as... today. Best game ever.
Nerdbliss has arrived at Planet Kessel. We made the run in 11 parsecs. Did you know that a parsec is a measure of distance and not speed? They had to make an entire movie to explain that little gap. Disengaging hyperdrive. Begin disembarkation protocol.
Man, what a show. That'll do it for Nerd Bliss episode 146. Thank you so much for listening. Very, very special thanks to Mikey Mason for taking the time to talk to us. Now, at the top of the show, I told you that we were going to have a drawing to give away a Mikey Mason collection flash drive. This is an $80 value. It is Mikey Mason's entire catalog to date, plus a few bonuses. And we are going to do a contest where we are going to ask a question, and we are going to put all the correct answers to that question into a drawing. And we will draw a winner, and we will announce that winner on the July 30th, 2021 episode of Nerd Bliss, whichever one that happens to be. I wish I could plan that far ahead. But we won't know. But anyway, July 30th is when we're planning on announcing that winner on whichever Nerd Bliss show airs on that day. Now, I also mentioned that there was going to be a second prize. Again, just we're just going to pull a second name from those who got the correct answer to the question. And that prize is going to be a set of commemorative dice for Gen Con 2020. And what makes these special, besides just being gorgeous dice, Gen Con 2020 didn't happen. It was canceled due to COVID restrictions. And so it's kind of a collector's item. And we'll put some pictures of those dice up on the show notes for you. So there's nothing left now but to go ahead and ask the trivia question. And that question is this. On what calendar date did Mikey Mason make his debut on Dr. Demento? What calendar date did Mikey Mason make his debut on Dr. Demento? Send your answers to nerdblisspod@gmail.com. And we will enter you in the drawing if you got it right. And I wish you all the best of luck. All music in this recording was used with the appropriate licensing and or permissions. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta, and it is licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. Thank you once again for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO network. your station for all things geek.